Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. And God, we come rejoicing because truly we have access to you, Lord God. Through that name, and it is at the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Father, I pray even now, God, that as I stand before your people, that you will circumcise my heart even the more, God. And Father, that you will anoint me from the crown of my head to the soles of my very feet. I thank you, God, that every word that I utter this morning will be a word from heaven. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the enemy is bound. There can be no distractions. There's nothing that he could do to hinder this message. Thank you, God, that I stand covered by the blood of Jesus and I stand under the authority of my pastor. So I pray even now, God, that you would move from heart to heart and from breast to breast, and you would move upon the hearts and the minds of your people to take what you have given them to the next level. God, I thank you so much for the revelations and the illuminations that will come forth. So I shout even now. I say hallelujah even now before the manifestation. And I thank you, Jesus, and it is in the blessed name that you've given us, God, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that I do pray and I do give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the purpose of the message this morning is to show the importance of surrendering to the move of God. You know, everybody likes to see the move of God, but not everybody likes to surrender to the move of God. Hallelujah. Because surrendering to the move of God means it's going to cost you something. There's some things you're going to have to give up, some things you're going to have to lay aside. So this morning, I just want to show you the importance of surrendering to the move of God. And my objective this morning is to use the word of God to illustrate that your experience, that you experience the most from God when you are in real deep situations with God. That's when you experience the most from God. My goal this morning is to encourage you to let go and let God. You got to let go and let God, because truly we can't fix anything. Truly we have no power in and of ourselves to do anything. So we have to let go and let God. Sometimes it gets rocky. Sometimes it gets shaky. But we have to trust God. And my central thought this morning is shallow waters deprive you of priceless lessons that can only be found in fathoms of experiences with God. I'm going to say that again. Shallow waters deprive you of priceless lessons that can only be found in fathoms of experiences with God. You see, for most of us, we like shallow water. Because shallow water says that it's safe. It means that there's no risk. But if you want to experience the most from God, then you really have to go into the deep waters with him. Hallelujah. And I say this because sometimes many of us will say, yes, I want God to do this and I want God to do that. And we make a decision that we're going to allow God to do some things in our lives. And it's okay when we're standing on the shores looking out. But when we have to go out into the deep and allow God to do what he has to do with us, then we change our minds and decide to run back to the shores or to go back to the shallow waters. Anybody hearing me this morning? You see, when the waters get deep, we have a tendency to run back and forget the plan and give up on God and go back to our comfort zones. Go back to what we used to do that seemed like it was so good to us. But this morning, I want to encourage you that you got to let go and go out into the deep with God. So this morning, I want to reshape your thinking. And I want to challenge your theology. I want to challenge those opinions. I want to challenge those principalities, those ideas that you have that will allow you to say with your mouth that God is God. But when it comes time to follow him, you run back to the shallow waters. Hallelujah. I came here this morning only to encourage you. Hallelujah. I came here this morning to let you know that even though it might get rough, don't quit. I came here to encourage you that even though you might step out and you might see the waves and you might see the torrent and you might see the depth and the breadth of what is in front of you, don't quit. Because truly you serve an awesome God. And even though the money might be funny, don't quit. Keep on believing and keep on hoping. Even though the children might be acting up, don't quit. Keep on believing. Keep on pressing. Keep on knowing that you serve a mighty God. Even though your spouse might be acting up, don't quit. Keep on pressing. Because it's when you step out into the deep waters that you will be able to experience the faithfulness of God. You see, when you're in the shallow waters, you don't need God. Because in the shallow waters, you can navigate your way out of things. But when you get into deep waters, then you find out that you really need God. So I came here to tell you this morning that we serve an awesome God. And his name is?
Jesus.
And I want you to know, if you never knew before, that he's a way maker. He's a way maker. He is the bridge over troubled waters. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is a healer. He is a provider. He is a mind regulator. And he's got the best stimulus package. And he can bail you out of every situation. You just got to trust him this morning. Hallelujah. The Democrats can't do it. The Republicans can't do it. But it's God working in the vessel that can do it. Hallelujah. I want you to hear this with your inner ear. The level of your success is determined by your ability to stay with the flow of what God is orchestrating in your life. That determines the level of success. Because you see, success doesn't always come easy. Success doesn't mean that it appears by osmosis. Success means that you got to go out into the deep. Success means that you got to stay with it. Success means that you got to trust God. And many started, but they didn't finish. Many got in the boat, but they got right out. Many quit just before the finish line. Many entered into the deep, but they ran back to the shallow waters. Hallelujah. Somebody hearing me this morning. Touch somebody and say, it is time for fresh bread. Hallelujah. See, I believe that God baked this just for you this morning. I believe that God put this in the oven just for you this morning. Because truly there are some situations and some circumstances that are coming down upon you. And you don't know whether to turn to the right. You don't know whether to turn to the left. And I'm trying to get you to understand that God, if you go out in the deep with God, that's where you're going to find your success. Some of us are experiencing dry spells right now. But I don't know about you, but have you ever seen a river that experiences a drought? And all you can see is the cracked, dry dirt. And a couple weeks later, you go by the same river, and the river is flowing to its banks with waters. God allowed the rain to come down. And I want you to know this morning that if you're staying there with God, the rain is going to come down. The living waters are going to come down. I want you to know this morning that you serve an awesome God. That you will not suffer and you shall not beg for bread. Because he is your daddy, yo. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, I'm taking you somewhere. Because you see, back in the days of Palestine, You see, that's the kind of things they used to experience. They used to experience all kind of droughts, and the earth would be cracked and dry. So when water came down, hallelujah, water represented a blessing from God. And that's why in the Bible it speaks of the living waters. Because when the living waters come, everything that is dead comes alive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Bible says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, he will raise up a standard. See, so when it's dry and parched and it looks like nothing is going to happen, and that's the enemy coming in, you can expect the floodgates to open, because God is going to rain down. So for a subject this morning, I'd like to lift up getting deep with God. Get in deep with God. And I invite you in this hour to visit with me. I'm going to knock on the doors of that great prophet Ezekiel. And I want you to visit him as I visit him this morning. And you will see what is happening in Ezekiel's life. Because Ezekiel is right now receiving a vision from God in chapter 47. Hallelujah. God brought Ezekiel to a place, and God is now showing him the awesomeness of his great power. When you get to a place and you can't make it on your own, and the only thing you can do is get in deep with God. So let me tell you a little bit about the prophet. Hallelujah. He was a priest, but he was taken into captivity back in 597 BC, and he was taken into Babylon. And Ezekiel, like the others, would sit there and says, by the rivers of Babylon, I sit and I weep when I remember Zion. Because they had been taken away from Zion into captivity, into Babylon. And Ezekiel was about 25 years old. Even though he was taken away from his homeland, the gift that God had placed on the inside with him came with him to captivity. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that even when you go into captivity, even when the enemy messes with you, the gift that God has put on the side of you, the gift goes with you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Ezekiel is in the midst of captivity, and God now is opening up Ezekiel's eyes and allowing Ezekiel to glimpse at extraordinary visions. And all of the visions that Ezekiel would see, they represent the preeminence and the glory of God, and it shows you the character of God. That is why when Ezekiel saw the vision of the great wheels, and he saw that there was a wheel in the middle of the wheel, hallelujah, because God was allowing him to see Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the Messiah, in the things that he would show him. And that's why when he took him down to the valley, hallelujah, took Ezekiel down to the valley, and it was a valley of dry bones. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel looked all around him, and all he saw was dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these dry bones live? And God says, breathe upon them. And he breathed upon the dry bones. Hallelujah. There might be some dry bones here this morning, but I want you to know that God is able to restore you. God is able to put sinew on the dry bones. So Ezekiel had some experiences with God. And now God has taken him yet another time, put him up on this high mountain, and took him by this river. Hallelujah. Yeah. So as we look in chapter 47, God introduces Ezekiel to the sanctuary, a river flowing from the temple of God. And I believe that it was in this vision that Ezekiel got a glimpse of Jesus at the well. It was in this vision that Ezekiel saw the little girl from Samaria. Hallelujah. He saw where Jesus had gone to the well. And he had asked this little ghetto girl, hallelujah, somebody. He had asked this little ghetto girl for some water. Hallelujah, glory be to God. So you see, you never know when God is going to ask you for whatever. Don't ever think you're not too good for God to use. Because God, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And Samaria was known as the ghetto. Samaria was known as a place where the misfits were, where the mixed races were. And this little ghetto girl, God is into ghetto girls. You got to understand that. God saw this little ghetto girl and said, can I get some water? And I think Ezekiel got a glimpse of this. When God took him into this vision to show him the living waters, hallelujah. And Ezekiel saw when Jesus spoke to her and said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. I believe that Ezekiel, in this vision, got a glimpse of what John saw on the Isle of Patmos when John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Because Ezekiel said he saw a man who was bronze. Hallelujah. He saw a man who was bronze. And when you go over to the New Testament, John said, I saw a man whose hair was woolly and he was bronze. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I believe that the brother, hallelujah, glory be to God. I believe that the brother saw Jesus in a way that many of us don't see him. He wasn't blue-eyed. Hallelujah. He said he was bronze. Same vision Ezekiel got is the same vision that John got. And the same living waters that God was talking to Ezekiel about is the same living waters that he talked to John about. And John said, and he showed me in Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Ezekiel saw a vision of God's church. Let us read. Let us read at 47. We're going to start at 47 and 1, and we're going to go down to 5. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Everybody say eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way outside unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man, the bronze man, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters where the waters were to my loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass. It was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And I believe this is the same vision that Ezekiel is having now, where God is showing him the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And as I read that, I said, God, how can I make this relevant to the church? And we had a members meeting We had a members meeting on Thursday. And new appointments were made to different offices in the church. And God showed me this thing. He said there are different levels of commitments. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And with the further you go with God, the deeper you go with God, God is able to do greater things through you. So this morning, as I begin to look at the five levels of Christian commitment, what I want us to look at first of all, at the Riverside Christian. I say I want us to look at the Riverside Christian. Hallelujah. The Riverside Christian, they're the bench warmers. Hallelujah. They stand on the banks and they look at the water, but they never think about stepping in the water. They look and they criticize and they look at everything that's happening and they don't know God for themselves. They only know God from what they hear from a preacher. And the Riverside Christians, what they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, no personal testimony or any experiences with Christ. God got a lot to say about the Riverside Christians. And that's why those of us who got it up to our waist or might have it up to our neck, that's why we have to witness so that people can come into the kingdom of God. So they won't be standing on the banks looking in, but they will come in and experience the living waters of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, hallelujah. Riverside Christians, they got a lot to say about churches. But they're not a part of any church. Let's go a little deeper. Touch somebody and say, we're going deep. We're going deep. Hallelujah. Next level of commitment. The ankle deep Christian. Hallelujah. And as you identify yourself, God's going to give you an opportunity to repent this morning. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The ankle deep Christian. And the word of God says in verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand, the tour guide, hallelujah, when he went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. Now you have to understand that the bronze man, hallelujah, glory be to God, with the rod in his hand, hallelujah, when he was measuring, hallelujah, he was measuring outward. So as you would step out, hallelujah, the further you step out is the deeper it would get, hallelujah. So the bronze man, the tour guide, took him with the reed in his hand and he said, step out, son of man. And when he stepped out, the water got into his ankles. And when the water got into his ankles, he stepped into something and he realized God was doing something on the inside. And God was moving. God was orchestrating. God was shaping. God was forming. God was doing something like he never did before. But guess what? There's some of us, when we experience God, when we step out in the waters and the waters get us at our ankles, that we look out into the deep and it looks too much. It looks overwhelming. It looks like I won't ever make it. So instead of stepping further out, you run back to the shores. And I want you to know this morning that the ankle deep Christians, somebody say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The ankle deep Christians, they get saved and that's it. They get saved and that's it. And they intellectualize the gospel. And an intellectualized gospel can only get your ankle deep. Hallelujah. You see them all over television, all around the beltway. Very intellectual. Hallelujah. But they never really, the ankle deep Christian never really get a vision of the church. The ankle deep Christian is not fully submitted and trusting of God. Morally good. They're like the rich young ruler. They observe all the commandments from their youth. But when God says, sell everything, sell everything, sell everything and follow me. Hallelujah. They run away crying and run back to the shores because they can't handle the deep things of God. Anchor Deep Christian, seasonal participation. They come whenever. Resurrection Sunday. Christmas. And every once in a while, you might catch them for a revival. But they have no commitment to their salvation. They only go with God, but so far. They don't trust God enough to go out into the deep. Touch somebody and say, ouch. See, because I believe what God is trying to show us this morning, that our level of commitment has got to be increased. Because unless our level of commitment is increased, we will never experience the fullness of God. We will always be wondering, what if? We will always be speculating. And then we have the knee-deep Christian. The Bible says, in verse 4, again he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Okay, so he stepped out a little bit further. Yeah. Now the water is to the knees. He looks out, or she looks out. See the vastness of the universe. See the vastness of what God is trying to do. And you say, I can't do this. I'm going to go back where the water is at my ankles. It's safe there. It's secure there. This is just a little bit too close to the edge. And they turn back and run back to a place. And they run back to that place. And the knee-deep Christian, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit because they haven't taken it to the next level where they can get filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not baptized with fire from on high. So all they're doing is trying to lean on their own understanding to figure out things. There is no fire. There is no power. They save, but they operate out of the carnality of their own minds. They criticize and they murmur and they complain. That's a knee-deep Christian. They operate out of fear and skepticism. They have no discernment, no revelation, no illumination. And what God is trying to show you this morning is that if you allow those living waters, if you allow the living waters to envelop you, if you allow the living waters to take over, then you will experience him like you never experienced him before. There is nothing for you in shallow waters. Shallow waters, you're in there by yourself. But when you want to experience the fullness of God, you got to get in deep with God. Touch somebody and say, get deep, get deep, get deep. I believe that God is looking at some people this morning. He's looking at the record. And he's saying, what is your commitment this morning? What is your level of commitment? Where are you now as it pertains to my church? As the living waters usher out from under the throne, where are you? Are you going out with me? Are you casting caution, you know, to the wind? Are you saying, God, for thee I live. Jesus, for thee I live. And for thee I will die. Or are you still holding on? You're still holding on to the things. You're still holding on to the people. You're still holding on to the circumstances and the situations that have you bound. But God is saying this morning, let go and let God. Let go and let me have full control. Let go and let me take full reign over your life. Let go and let me be God. Let go and let me be glorified in your life this morning. Touch somebody and say, you got to let go. You got to let go. You got to let go. Then you get to the waist deep Christians. Hallelujah. Touch somebody and say, that might be me. That might be me. That might be me. See, the waist-deep Christian. In verse 4, it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and they were to my loins. In other words, the water is now up to the waist. Hallelujah. And these are the people who are waist-deep Christians. They receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to feel the flow of God's river. They begin to feel the pull of God in their lives, but they're still resisting. They're still resisting. They haven't answered the call of God on their lives because they got too much unfinished business they got to take care of. I got to deal with the man I got. I got to deal with the woman I got. I got to deal with the problems I got. I got all of this I got to deal with, God. I can't answer my call right now. You are not a priority right now, God. All this other stuff I got to deal with. And then when I'm finished dealing with all of this, you see, but there comes a time when you might plan to have the biggest concert in your whole life. Comes a time when you plan to give a show like you never give before. And you say, later, God, after this, I can do this. And after this, I can do that. But just before the curtain call, hallelujah, just before the curtain call, you come out of here. God takes you out of here. And you never get an opportunity. Never get an opportunity. You knew about God. You knew about the things of God. You knew him as Yahweh. Yeah. You knew him as Jehovah. Yeah. But you never knew him as Yeshua. Yeah. Hallelujah. You never knew him as Jehovah Yasha. Hallelujah. You never knew him as Jehovah Ori, the light. Yeah. And you knee deep. You knee deep. You speak theologically well. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can even quote some verses from the scriptures. Yeah. But you just haven't said goodbye to the world. You still have unfinished business. There's still that 1 o'clock in the morning call when you just got to put it down and run to it. You just can't let God have his way in your life. See, the knee-deep Christians, they're the hypocrites. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Touch somebody and say, no, that's not me. No, that's not me. That one is not me. Hallelujah. Because they're the hypocrites. Because they pretend now that they know God. But they got the closet life. Hallelujah. They're closet freaks and they do all kinds of things in the closet. Thinking that God don't know what they're doing. That God can't see what they're doing. They're still sipping when nobody's looking. They're still hitting it when nobody's looking. They're still doing this and doing that. They still end up in the bed when they thought it was their own bed. Fornicating. Lying. Cheating. Waist-deep Christians. Waist-deep Christians. Still have unfinished business with the world. Still looking to man and not God. Still hoping that they will hit the lotto. Instead of trusting God and believing God that he said, I shall supply all of your needs. Hallelujah. Not according to what you say, but according to my riches in glory. That means the abundance of what God has, he will supply to you. Not the limitations that you put on him, but the abundance of what he has in glory, he'll supply. Through Christ Jesus. It's only going to come through Christ Jesus. It's not going to come through the lot of men. It's not going to come through the bookie. Ain't no horse can run fast enough to outrun Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. Still looking to man. And then now, this is the part I want to get to. Because you have the in over your head Christians. The in over your head Christians. Touch somebody and say, I'm going for the deep. I'm going for the deep. I'm going for the deep. The Bible says, afterward in verse 5, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And you can imagine that Ezekiel is being led by the bronze man. Hallelujah. Ezekiel is being led by Jesus. Hallelujah. He is being led by the Spirit of the living God. And he walks out 1,000 cubits. And he goes a little further out. And the water gets into his ankles. And then he leaves him out a little bit further. And the water gets to his knees. Then he leaves him out a little bit further. And the water gets to his ankles, to his waist. And then he said, Ezekiel, you're doing well, you're doing well, you're doing well. Come on, Peter, come on, Peter, come on, Peter. Just keep your eyes on me. And then he steps on a little bit further. And now he recognizes that he's in waters that he cannot fathom. He's in waters now that he cannot stand up in. He's in waters now. And let me tell you something. There's going to come a time in life when you're going to find that you're in some waters that you can't stand up in. And the only thing you can do is begin to swim. Begin to swim. Begin to swim. And you know what? When you do the front crawl, you do the front crawl, you might get a little tired. And you do the back crawl. Hallelujah. You do the back crawl. And when you get a little tired doing the back crawl, then you begin to do the breaststroke. You begin to do the breaststroke. Hallelujah. And then sometimes. 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 You just gotta lay on your back and float. And look up to the heavens. Look up to the heavens and say, my God, my God. God. God is looking for some in over the head Christians. He's looking for some people. See, I believe what Ezekiel saw that morning. I believe what Ezekiel saw that morning. Ezekiel had a glimpse of Calvary. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel looked out and he saw this great divide, the bridge between divinity and humanity. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel knew that he couldn't fathom it. Ezekiel knew that he couldn't handle it. And he got a glimpse of Calvary. And when he had a glimpse of Calvary, he saw the stretch. He saw the stretch. He saw the bridge. Hallelujah. He saw the bridge. He saw that Jesus was making the bridge between divinity and humanity. And Ezekiel recognized that the man couldn't measure this thing no more. Because there is no decimeter. There is no millimeter. There is no feet. There is no rule. There is nothing that you could use to measure the stretch at Calvary. But it was broad enough and wide enough and high enough and deep enough that it covers every human being and it covers every sin. It covers the prostitute, the stretch. I said the stretch covers the prostitute. It covers the drug addict. Hallelujah. It covers the fornicator. It covers the liar. It covers everybody. The stretch. The stretch of Calvary. That was the deep divide. And I believe Ezekiel saw that. He saw the waters, hallelujah. The waters. See, when Ezekiel first saw the water in the vision, it was a little trickle. It was a little drip. It was a little something. And then little by little, the water grew. The water grew. The water grew. And it grew out. The Bible says it went all the way down into En-Gedi, into the Dead Sea. And when that water touched everything, touches everything that's in the Dead Sea, all the fish will come alive. All the fruits will come alive. Everything that God has that is dead, once the water touches it, will come alive. Touch somebody and say, I'm going deep. I'm going deep. I'm going deep. You see, you got to get to that place where it's over your head. You're in over your head. Because it's only when you're in over your head that you can experience the grace of God. Because you see, humanity was in over their head. Humanity was in over their heads. Hallelujah. They couldn't help themselves. Hallelujah. God sent a bridge. He sent a bridge. And when I think of the Wilson Bridge, hallelujah. And sometimes you're trying to move from Maryland to Virginia. And sometimes there's a traffic line because a man had to press the lever so the bridge could go up, so the boats and all the other things could pass over. And you had to wait for that man to press the lever. You had to wait for that man to tell you when you could go through. But I came here to tell you this morning. I came here to tell you this morning that you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for a man to press the lever. You serve a God. His name is Jesus. 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 And that's the bridge over troubled water. Hallelujah. That's why Ezekiel said he is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Hallelujah. That's why Solomon says he is the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. Because in the midst of the thorns, in the midst of the thorns, there is a rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. That's why Job called him the great arbitrator. Hallelujah. Isaiah called him the mighty counselor, the prince of peace, the everlasting father. That's why Joshua called him the mighty conqueror. Hallelujah. And that's why Jeremiah called him the bomb in Gilead. There is a bridge. There is a bridge. When the waters get so deep. When the waters get so deep. See, and God is looking for Christians who will step out in the deep. Don't look like I can pay my mortgage right now. But I'm trusting God. I'm going out in the deep with God. Don't look like I can make that car payment. But I'm trusting God. I'm going out in the deep with God. It don't look like I have the next dime in my pocket, but I'm trusting God. I'm going out in the deep with God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to swim for my life. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay in the deep because I realize they say when you swim, you use every muscle of your body. Hallelujah. That means with my whole heart, with my whole soul, with my whole mind, I worship him in my circumstance. I worship him. I worship him. Hallelujah. I worship him. You see, Ezekiel saw that water trickling from the altar of sacrifice. And that altar of sacrifice was in the east. That's why the vision showed him the water coming from the east. Because in the east was Calvary. Anybody hear me today? So he saw the waters coming. A little trickle. A little blip. A little blop. Ooh, what is that I hear? I hear like something is about to happen. I hear like God is about to do a new thing. I hear like God is about to move mountains. I hear like God is shaking up some things. That's why Ezekiel knew it was God, because he remembered the rumbling in the valley. He remembered when the dry bones couldn't walk. He remembered when they couldn't talk. He remembered when they needed to be restored. And he saw the hand of God move over the dry bones. And the bones began to move. Sinew come up on the bones, and there was a rumbling. And Ezekiel heard the same rumbling. Ezekiel heard the same movement. Ezekiel heard the voice of God. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a swim. I'm a swim. See, because until you learn how to swim, you won't be able to experience the value of the blood of Jesus. Because it says it reaches the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that Jesus shed for me, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. So you got to understand, church, that Ezekiel saw what was getting ready to happen at Calvary. And he was trying to get the word out to the people of Israel. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't run back to the shore. Don't run back to the safety places that you know. But just get out in the deep. Let God have his way. Let God have his will. Because God is getting ready to do a new thing on the inside of you. So when the flood comes, because it says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, he will raise up a standard. So when the flood comes, hallelujah, know that the flood represents the Holy Spirit. When God was getting ready to cleanse the land in the book of Genesis. It was a flood that he used. Hallelujah. Because the flood represented the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And just like it hovered over the waters in Genesis 2, in Genesis 1 and 2, when the earth was without form, God used that same Holy Spirit in the form of a flood to cleanse the land. So that when the flood comes, don't run from the flood. God is getting ready to do a cleansing in your life. Just decide that you're going to swim deep with God. You're going to move with God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I feel like God is talking to some people this morning. Because you see, what you have to understand When Ezekiel first heard the water, it was a little drip. And that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ is. This illustrates what this whole thing represents, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It starts with a little drip in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And he said, tarry in Jerusalem. Because there's a flood that's going to come. Hallelujah. And when that flood comes, hallelujah, the gospel is going to move from one end of the earth to the next. So Ezekiel got a glimpse of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it started at Calvary. Hallelujah. One little drop. Hallelujah, somebody. One little drop. And it was ushered out from God to the disciples, to the nations, to the uttermost part of the earth. And God is looking for some witnesses, some people who will take that flood. Take that flood and take it to the dry and barren land. Take that flood into the places where there is death and poverty and no growth. God is looking for some people who can swim. Because it's in the swimming that you will build your testimony. To say, I was way out. United States Coast Guard couldn't help me. While they're coming up with a recovery plan, God had already done his recovery plan. God had found me, restored me, and I was fully recovered. Because I went out in the deep, and I stayed out in the deep and let God. So I want to encourage you as believers. I want to encourage you this morning. Because you see, it might start at the ankle. Hallelujah. You might feel something at the ankles. And you say, yeah, 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 I feel like something is about to happen. See, and I want you to take that other step. Don't stand where you are. Don't stand where you are. See, take that step. Trust God. And go further out in the deep. And then after you see what God is doing there. Matter of fact, you don't even have to wait on God to see what he's going to do. You just have to consider it already done. And then you take the next step. Hallelujah. You take the next step. And finally you get to that place where you can swim in the deep. Where God will use you as a champion for the gospel. Where God, where it's in the deep that all the gifts and all the talents. It might look like you're coming up against all odds. They're saying you can't win. You have no chance of winning. But you serve a God. He is great. And he's mighty. And he is the one who appoints. Man can only vote you in. But God will appoint. God will make you to be all that he called you to be. So trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Anybody ready to swim this morning? Anybody ready to swim this morning? Hallelujah. I believe. See, and the wonderful thing about this, when you get out here to swim with God, God's not going to let you drown. Because he says, and you shall not be consumed by the flood. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's a good flood. See, you got to be able to recognize the good floods in your life. Hallelujah. You got to be able to recognize when God is doing something in your life. Yeah, it might look like it was a subtraction, but trust me, God is in the addition business. God will restore you 100-fold, and he will take you even bigger and better.
Yes, hallelujah.
Trust God. Trust God. Cry your little tears. Cry your little tears. Repent to God. Because what you thought that God was using against you, he's using it with you. He's using it so he could raise you up. So your testimony will be greater and better. Until you get to that point where you get the living waters. and you thirst absolutely no more. You see, God recognizes that you still got a thirst. Hallelujah. And as long as you're still thirsting for the things of the world, he's going to let you go through some things. But when you go out there in the deep, you got to be ready to swim with God, because it's when you come out of the deep. His disciples had fished all night. Fished all night. Shallow waters. Cast your net out in the deep. And they try to argue with God. God, we've been fishing all night. Yeah. You've been out here all night. And they caught it in the spirit. They say, nevertheless, we're going to cast it out. We're going to cast it out. He told Peter, he said, Peter, come. Peter, come. If you believe that I am God, come. Come out in the deep with me, Peter. And Peter stepped out in the deep. And then he saw the white of the waves. And he heard the cracking of the waves. He looked out into the expanse, took his eyes off Jesus. And he started to sink. So when you're going out in the deep, you got to make up your mind. Lord, if I die out here, you'll find a way to bury me. And it don't even matter if you bury me, because I'm home with you anyway. Hallelujah. Because where I am, burial can't come with me. Hallelujah. Only eternal life can come with me where I am. Hallelujah. But I'm going out in the deep. Going out in the deep. And I'm going to trust you. And I'll trust you, and I'll trust you, and I'll trust you. And I will cry, and I will weep, and I will mourn, and I will get on my knees, and I will pray. But God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust you. I'll be better than an Olympic. What's that guy's name? Phelps. I'll be better than an Olympic swimmer. Because the Bible categorized these waters as waters that you can swim in. Hallelujah. So you need to look for some waters that you can swim in. And I believe that God's getting ready to do a new thing. After that members meeting where appointments were made and people got in positions to do different things in the church, God is trying now to test your commitment. Are you an ankle deep Christian? Are you a knee deep Christian? Are you a up to the waist Christian? Are you in over your head Christian? Because you see, until you decide you want to be an in over the head Christian, whatever you touch for God, it's going to be stagnant. It's not going to go no place. Because that means you're still holding on to the world. You're still looking to man to validate you. You're still looking for man to do something for you. But when you're in over your head, you're trusting God. God, I don't know it. They gave me this position. I don't know the first thing to do, but I'm a swim, God. I'm a swim. I'm a trust you, God. I believe there's some swimmers in the house. I believe that there's some swimmers in the house. And I believe that there's some that want to learn how to swim. Yeah. And if that's you this morning, you recognize the error of your way. And you want to repent before Almighty God this morning. And you want to say, God, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I should have done it differently. But I messed up. But just like Ezekiel, I got a glimpse of that bridge. I got a glimpse of the stretch. And I know that the blood, drip, drip, plop, plop, every drip of that blood covers a multitude of my sins. And God, I thank you that in spite of my sins, in spite of what I've done and in spite of who I am, you love me because of whose I am. And this morning, God, I just want to repent before you. I just want to repent before you. Anybody in the house this morning? Anybody in the house this morning? Where you just feel like, God, I just need to take this thing to the altar. I just need to really, truly, God, come to a place